This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Republican State Representative Fred Cox of West Valley City says he doesn't vote on bills based on whether they're sponsored by a Republican or Democrat. In fact, he was the only lawmaker who teamed up with a member of the opposite party to sponsor a bipartisan congressional redistricting map during last year's redistricting process. In the end, he got drawn into the same district as a Democratic incumbent, Janice Fisher, whom he's now running against in this year's election. He joins me now in the studio to talk about the election, the legislation he's sponsored, and a bit about his career as an architect. And Fred, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Listeners, join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. So, Fred, I think you have two terms now under your belt as a Utah lawmaker. How did you first come to join the legislature?
That's pretty interesting. I found out through a tweet that Ron Bigelow, who was my representative and had been for over 16 years, was stepping down to be the state budget director. And so I spent 4 or 5 hours trying to decide whether I would run for that spot. And obviously I decided to.
And I understand you won by one vote amongst the Republican delegates. Is that true?
That is true. In fact, after the first round, I was in second place to Sherry Winder, Mayor Winder's mom, who has unfortunately passed away since then.
Right.
But the second round, I did win by one vote.
So what made you want to be a state lawmaker then, Representative?
Well, I feel that if we don't stand up and speak, we continually will see our rights taken away from government. The Constitution is designed to limit what government can and can't do, and in many cases, I don't see the limits that are put on what government can do. And so one of the things that I was hoping to accomplish and one of the things I've tried to do is to provide a reminder of what those limits are and also to try to be fair and balanced. In fact, as you mentioned that redistricting, I was accused of being perhaps too fair.
So tell me about your district in West Valley City. Where is it exactly and are there any unique concerns of this particular district, do you think?
The district is approximately 4,100 south and around 4,800 west, 5,600 west. In fact, the accident that just happened the last couple of days is right in the middle of it. As far as any specific issues in that particular area, obviously education is very important.
Yeah.
And people are just looking for work, for jobs. There are a number of people that have been hurt very they've just been hurt a lot by the what's happened with the economy the last few years. And as an architect tied in construction, I've certainly seen it as well.
So, Fred, one of your first experiences as a state lawmaker was last year's redistricting process, which critics, mainly Democrats, have sharply criticized for how the congressional maps in particular turned out. You worked together, I think it was with Democratic Senator Ben McAdams, now the nominee for Salt Lake County mayor, to sponsor a congressional map. Or maybe I have that wrong. I'm sorry. Was it Representative Brian King?
No, you had it
right. I had it right the first time. Okay. So you worked together with Senator McAdams to co-sponsor a bipartisan congressional map. Tell me about that effort and why you felt that that was the right thing to do at the time.
Well, I had actually started working on a congressional map like November before I was even aware that I could even be up there. As an architect, I like working on drawings, and I took what CAD software I had and use of spreadsheets and started working on it. And I tried to create a scenario where we would not divide cities, towns, counties as much as possible and try to create something that looked fair. As I went through looking at the various process, that particular map that I had developed ended up being one of the top six that the committee selected. In fact, it had the highest votes. At that point, I saw a change in that particular map. I started seeing a lot of more fighting, and I started to have a concern that what we would get would be something that perhaps wasn't fair or that would split up Holiday in three pieces or whatever. And so at that point, I started looking at some other options. I actually prepared four of the 20 bills that were actually available to be voted on. And one of them was the one with Senator McAdams. And we started talking and were open to the idea and seeing what would happen if we came up with a map. And he had liked the one that I'd come up with, and we just worked and see if we could make something that was better. And we started from scratch. And the more that we got, it looked more and more like one of the versions that I had. And so we just came up with something I thought was real interesting, that I believe that was a great map. Unfortunately, we couldn't get enough votes. The only map that could was the one that that passed, and it was the only one that could get two-thirds of the people agreeing. We didn't have to have two-thirds, but that one did.
In the end, did you decide to vote against the map that was eventually passed, or what did you decide?
I voted for it. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but I felt like it was a good map. It accomplished a lot of the things that I was looking for, but it was the best map that I had available to vote for, and I felt like it was worth considering.
So as I mentioned at the top, you know, you wound up being drawn yourself into the same district as Democratic incumbent Representative Janice Fisher. What do you think went into that? Do you think it was just the luck of the draw? You got the short end of the stick there, or what happened exactly?
Well, when I did some other maps, including one for House districts, and I started at the top of the state and went down and ignored where anybody lived, and it became pretty obvious that Salt Lake County was going to lose at least two representatives. Mm-hmm. And based on the population, we really needed to lose a couple more and then add one or two at different places because of population shift. So I knew somewhere in the West Valley, Taylorsville area, someone would be eliminated. Mm-hmm. That didn't surprise me at all. The location surprised me a little bit, but in looking at it, I really had a choice. Did I want us to take and protect an incumbent and draw a district that looked like it was stretched, or did I want one that made sense? And I believe that the Republicans on the committee for Salt Lake County worked really hard to keep the district so that they made sense. And so if I had a choice of having the district that I am running for, which I do believe makes sense, it's within West Valley, it's mm-hmm. it's a shape that somewhat makes sense based on railroads and major roads, I would rather have that and face another incumbent than be drawn into a district that did not make sense and not have that challenge.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is State Representative Fred Cox, a Republican of West Valley. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Fred, let's get into some of the bills that you have sponsored, particularly relating to you know, your day job as an architect. You've been involved in, for example, trying to update the state's building codes for energy efficiency. Tell me about some of the bills you've sponsored that specifically relate to kind of your private sector career.
Well, I was concerned last year that we still had not adopted the current code when it came to residential for energy. It didn't make sense. I've been dealing with building codes for 30 years, and what we've always done is adopted the current code and then amend it if we felt like there was something that we didn't like in the current code or something we wanted to improve on. Mm-hmm. In this case, we're not doing that, and I saw last year, in fact, last couple of years, a movement to avoid doing that. And so it wasn't so much just saving the energy. There's other things in that code that I believe are life safety items. But I felt like that's the wrong thing to do. We should take advantage of the hundreds and hundreds of people that are delegates, if you will, that put together the International Building Code around the country. And we have the benefit of building officials all over, including New York and other places where they've had accidents. We should be able to take advantage of that and then use our own expertise to make it better. And so that is something that I fought for. Obviously, this year I was not successful, but I do believe that it will make a difference in the long run.
I believe your legislation was opposed by realtors groups. What did you take away from that process, and did it give you any thoughts on, you know, the legislature perhaps being beholden to the realty industry, or what exactly?
Well, technically, the real estate group went neutral on the bill. Mm. The Utah Housing Association specifically came out against the bill, and they've been fighting this particular issue for several years. And there's a lot of concern that building codes are not necessarily common sense. They look at national standards and wonder whether or not we're making mistakes. And because of that attitude, I think that was one of the main things. But certainly it's frustrating to have 25 groups that support a bill and one that doesn't and not being able to get it through.
Tell me about some of the other legislation that you've either sponsored or been able to pass. And I understand that many of your bills you've actually co-sponsored with Democratic lawmakers as well.
Actually, the bill last year and this year that were signed by the governor, both of them were co-sponsored by a Democrat. And I just felt like the bills were nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's many things, as far as I'm concerned, are nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. So I had no problem working with a Democrat on a bill that I felt was something that everybody should agree with. Last year, I worked on one benefiting classic car owners, 30 to 40-year period of time, so they don't have to have the emissions and inspections when they drive their car 100 years, 100 miles a year.
Yeah.
The other one this year had to do with kidnapping offenders being grouped on the same offender list as the sex offenders and not having the option of even having a judge look at removing them from that. No one could pull them off, no matter what the circumstances were. And so one of the things that I worked on this year was to solve that. That was something that Ron Bigelow had started a few years ago. And I was able to get a bill that actually passed the House more than once with no one voting against it on the floor, which was exciting to see.
And Fred, unfortunately, our time is short, so not too much time to respond to this question, but I do quickly want to get to this year's issue of HB 363, the abstinence-only sex education bill, which would have banned anything but abstinence-only construction in Utah classrooms. It was passed by lawmakers, then vetoed by Governor Herbert. How did you come down on that bill, and tell us about the reasoning for how you voted?
What I did is, as I looked at the bill, it was only 7 pages long, but it was fairly complex that it was deleting something and adding something. And so I went back to current statute. I read through that, and then I read what was being proposed. And I did not see the big difference that a lot of people were pointing out. And, in fact, the exception that is currently being used to teach anything having to do with contraception was designed for contraception and abortion so that the state would not be providing those services or information to students without parents' permission. That exception remained. So that was one of the things that I looked at. And I quite frankly thought that that exception was perhaps being used for something that it wasn't originally intended. So that's what I looked at. And because of that, the bill obviously was not a consensus bill. You got a lot more opposition than certainly a lot of people expected, but it had 2 hours of committee, an hour of floor time debating it. We made some critical changes that I thought would help parents in their decisions and having access to information and making decisions. And if a school was not going to follow the law, they didn't have to teach the class. So I didn't have a problem with that. My biggest concern was actually not that the governor vetoed the bill, was that he was saying that we were taking away parents' choices, which I didn't really see in the legislation.
Finally, Fred, so you're running for election this year, technically not re-election because it's your first general election this time. What are you hoping to accomplish? What are you telling your constituents will be on your plate if you win a full 2-year term?
Well, I'm going to continue to work on things that affect the economy, hopefully keeping the government out of slowing down business. Energy is important, along with renewable energy, clean air. I also believe that education is very important. And if we can save money in one place and use that to benefit education someplace else or improve technology or other things that will help education, those are very important. But ultimately, I believe that they should consider someone that is not afraid to stand up and protect their rights. Otherwise, we lose them.
My guest has been Fred Cox. He is a Republican state representative of West Valley City. He's running against Democrat Janice Fisher this election year. Fred, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Politics Up Close is a production of KCPW News. Thank you to Jesse Ellis for his assistance with the program. Listen to it every Friday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 6, and download podcasts of our interviews online at kcpw.org. I'm Jeff Robinson. Thanks for joining us.